Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? People make errors, which lead to accidents. Accidents lead to deaths. The standard solution is to blame the people involved. If we find out who made the errors and punish them, we solve the problem, right? Wrong. The problem is seldom the fault of an individual, it is the fault of the system. Change the people without changing the system and the problems will continue. Don Norman, author, The Design of Everyday Things. When looking at failures, we need to understand why it made sense for those involved to behave or operate the way they did. Listen to last week's post about local rationality. Human factors and ergonomics is a recognised science which deals with this and really came to the fore in World War II with two events. The first was the use of checklists to improve aviation safety following the crash of the prototype B-17. The second was looking at the system because technologies were advancing faster than humans could adapt and errors were still happening. In 1943, the US Air Force called in psychologist Alphonse Chapanis to investigate repeated instances of pilots making a certain dangerous and inexplicable error. The pilots of certain models of aircraft would safely touch down and then mistakenly retract the landing gears. The massive aircraft would scrape along the ground, exploding into sparks and flames. Despite numerous recommendations that were put forward for more training and close adherence to checklists, the issues continued. Chapanis interviewed pilots but also carefully studied the cockpits. He noticed that on B-17S, the two levers that controlled the landing gears and flaps were identical and placed next to each other. These levers were like little light switches. Normally, a pilot would lower the landing gears and then raise the wing flaps, which act as air brakes and push the plane down onto the wheels. But in the chaos of wartime, the pilot could easily grab the wrong lever and retract the landing gears when he meant to raise the flaps. Chapanis' solution was simple. Attach a small rubber wheel to the landing gear control and a flap-shaped wedge to the flap control. Pilots could immediately feel which lever was the right one, and the problem went away. In this case, it was clear that the problem wasn't the pilot, but the design of the technology that surrounded him. Considering this, and diving in particular, the following should be considered true. The best people can make the worst mistake, systems will never be perfect, and humans will never be perfect. When diving incidents are discussed, the failure is often attributed to the individual for not following the rules or exceeding their certifications or just lacking common sense, as it was obvious what was going to happen. As diving is a recreational sport, there is very little that can be done in terms of punishment, and so it should be, but a more powerful punishment is often dispensed, criticism through social media. These include postings on social media by armchair divers who were not there, could not know the level of knowledge or training of those involved, could not know the motivation and goals of those involved, and still make judgments about how stupid could they be. Whilst the majority of diving is outside of formal rules, some are still present, such as in the UK when operating at a commercial site and a decompression sickness event occurs, it has to be reported to the site staff. The primary reason is to provide immediate first aid and evacuation if needed. If there is fear of an investigation by the HSE or equivalent regulatory body, and no reporting occurs, no one learns from the event, and more importantly, treatment can be delayed with potentially serious consequences. From a survey I conducted several years ago, more than half of the instructors who had responded had not reported DCS. The reasons for not reporting were not captured. Unfortunately, underreporting is a major issue across many industries, which means the scale of the issues are rarely known. The fear of reporting, either in a constructive manner on social media, or reporting through official channels when required, is indicative of the lack of a just culture. So what is a just culture? It is one that is open, fair, and a learning culture. And combined with the design of safe systems and managing behavioural choices, it creates an effective safety culture. The majority of research into just culture has been conducted in formal and established environments, and so the framework is normally about punishments framed around legal or HR requirements or rules. The majority of diving is not like this, but learning across the community is still essential as there is no way in which divers can be taught everything on a training course, and some of the lessons that could be taught in the real world could end up with someone dead. One of the myths of the just culture is that it is blame-free. This is not the case. If reckless behaviours have been undertaken when there is a duty of care, then it needs to be reported in the interest of safety. When outside of the duty of care construct, then risk is managed at an individual level, but risk perception and acceptance are individually referenced. Therefore, the feedback system is different. Not reporting your error, preventing the system from learning is the greatest problem of all, and some actions do warrant disciplinary or enforcement action when operating in an environment with a duty of care, be that voluntary or commercial, or some means of correcting what has happened so it doesn't happen again in other environments. The key question is, where do you draw the disciplinary line for those with a duty of care or negative criticism when outside of a duty of care? In order to know that, we all need to understand the differences between human error, risky behavior, and recklessness. These are defined as human error, inadvertent action, inadvertently doing other than what should have been done, a slip, lapse, or mistake. Risky behavior, choices that increase risk, where risk is not recognized or is mistakenly believed to be justified, includes violations and negligence. And reckless behavior, behavioral choice, intentional acts, conscious disregard to a substantial and unjustifiable risk. For an assessment based around a duty of care construct to work effectively, the person doing the assessment needs to be impartial and have no gain in any outcome of the decision-making process. Such a model does not exist for recreational activities, but the concepts are valid. The next blog will look at these subjects in more detail and ways in which we can address the problems we face. These include learning from incidents, accidents, and failure, and creating the environment whereby divers can talk about failure. If reporting isn't happening at a commercial level, it is likely that there are bigger issues to resolve than just the immediate fallout from the current events, such as why real events like DCS are not being reported. Until then, consider that whilst we don't have a formal disciplinary framework for the majority of diving, we do have social judgment and you are part of that. If you see something adverse happening, hard as it may be, don't make a judgment of why they could have made such a silly mistake. Rather, consider how they determined that it was a safe decision. That decision will be based on experience or lack of, motivations, previous outcomes from similar situations and training, which are all likely to be different to yours. Learn from your mistakes. Better still, learn from others. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.